music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to all listeners to Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. We thank God for another Saturday. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And it's always been a pleasure coming your way. Last week I started this discussion on some of the attacks of the enemy in these times against believers, against the church. My first point was, what do we believe in? So our belief system, what do we believe? So I'm continuing tonight on that, and there's a lot to talk about this evening. But first, a few news items to discuss and talk about, and some are very interesting. And you know, the way the world is going these days, to be, you know, in Ghana, it's a bit deceptive because we are not facing the things a whole lot of other believers elsewhere are facing. So sometimes you may think what we call Christianity as we know it is the standard, that's how it is. But in other countries, to be a Christian is a high price to pay, because the challenges are very difficult, the things you confront, and the persecution, which is increasing in various countries. It's even worrying that it's increasing in the Western countries, where you don't even expect these things to be happening. Canada this week, it's very unfortunate, but some of these strange things, they've stopped a Christian singer from singing in a church because of his beliefs. How do they stop a Christian from singing in a church? So let's say Nathaniel Bassey, for instance, has come to Ghana to minister at a program in Ghana or a church, and then the police come, and then it's like he's been stopped because what he believes is against what the liberal government believes in, or the liberal society, the LGBT and all this stuff. So this is how I've said some of the persecution cases are growing. In Canada, churches deface, they attack churches, they deface churches and all that. And the government, the police, they don't care. People pray on the streets, they block streets, and pray allowed and all, the police don't care. But when Christians decide to do something which is on the quiet note and all, now and they come in. So you see, the double standards and the persecution against the church is indeed very rife in some places. Okay, so let's start with the news. So the first one is systematically slaughtered. I'm reading the headline. Systematically slaughtered. Oklahoma student lost 34 family members in a Christian massacre. Wow. Pregnant woman's stomach cut open. And this is Nigeria. That's from Nigeria's case. All right. So, Ba Frank Uto, a native of Nigeria's Benue State, and a graduate student at the University of Central Oklahoma, awoke to several missed calls one morning last month. Fulani terrorist murdered 34 members of his immediate family during the June 13th to 14th Yelewata massacre, including his pregnant aunt. Wow, this is too gory. Let me just skip that part. The extremist attacked the Christian community of Yelewata in the Guma local government area of Benin, slaughtering more than 200 believers in what has been described as one of the deadliest assaults in the region's ongoing violence that has claimed the lives of countless Christians. The first names that I asked after spontaneously were all killed. Uto, who was in Oklahoma at the time, told attendees during a Thursday press conference hosted by Equipping the Persecuted, an organization dedicated to reporting on Nigerian Christian persecution and enhancing villages' security. The Nigerian, who comes from a family of Catholics, also said his sister was killed during the massacre. Uto said his sister, who was a serious believer, he was describing the scenario, but it's a bit very gory. And yeah, they killed his friend who had just arrived, finished university, and had just come to visit the village, was killed in his room. And this is what is happening in Nigeria. Let me read this part. It says that a May intelligence memo from Nigeria's Department of State Security reportedly even foreshadowed a planned assault by Fulani militias in Benue communities such as Yelewata. However, the Nigerian military provided no defense to Yelewata. The Nigerian government, despite its pronouncement, has demonstrably failed to defend us, Uto said. Time and again, when our villages are attacked, help is either non-existent or deliberately arrives too late. You know, somewhere last month, I watched an interview of a Nigerian soldier, an ex-soldier, who was describing their situation in terms of confronting these Fulani rebels, attacks and the Boko Haram and all that. And it was a very sad interview to listen to, because this soldier had been released from prison, military prison, after 10 years. And his offense was, they were asked to go and confront, or they asked to go and confront these rebels with light armor. I mean, when they say light armor, the trucks they are using are not armor plated, so it's light. I mean, so bullets can easily pierce, and their ammunition are also light, not the heavy ones that the rebels are having. So they requested that some of their guns are not even old, so if they can be re-equipped with. And that was his crime, his and his friends, their crime for requesting for better ammunition. Not that they won't go and fight, but give us better equipment so that we can confront these rebels well. And that's it. They were court-martialed for 10 years. And you listen to it and you realize the Nigerian government, the complicity in this whole thing. I mean, this attack against Christians, and the government is just not interested in getting it sorted. So this news report is one of many, 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 many that has been cut. It's very unfortunate. Okay, evangelical pastor and family massacred by terrorists in Syria, and at least 20 dead. Wow. An evangelical pastor and roughly 20 of his family members were killed over the weekend in Syria in what church officials described as the targeted massacre. The victims included his parents, siblings, children, and other close relatives. Pastor Khalid Meza, who led the Good Shepherd Evangelical Church in Suweida, had converted from Druze faith to Christianity along with his family several years ago, according to the report. He was widely known in the region for his ministry work and remained in Suweida despite growing tensions and threats of violence and the attacks against Christians in Syria. The reports are very, 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 very worrying. I mean, some of the reports are not good at all. But, you know, it's sad when the world pretends as if nothing is happening. When it's about Christians, they just pretend as if, I mean, had it been the reverse, you could have imagined the various reports in UN, they are voting at the UN, they are doing the sanctions, they are doing, had it been that. But when it's Christians, that one day it's as if no one cares. This is one last one of this type in Pakistan, where you have a Christian accused of blasphemy after calling out a Muslim shopkeeper's fraud. This story is just bizarre. Police in Pakistan arrested and charged a 60-year-old Christian or believer with blasphemy after he accused a Muslim shopkeeper of overcharging him. Amir Peter of Neshat Colony in Lahore, the capital of Punjab province, was charged last Saturday under Section 295C of the country's controversial blasphemy laws pertaining to disrespect of the religion's prophet, Muhammad, punishable with death on the complaint of Sana Ali, the shop owner. When Peter went to Ali's shop to buy a few groceries on Saturday morning, Ali overcharged him for the items, leaving to a verbal spat, and said Catherine Sapna, executive director of legal group Christians True Spirit. I mean, I think that's an NGO fighting for them. Angered by the man's rebuke, Ali lunged at the man and started beating him, Sapna told Christian Daily International Morning Star News. Peter was rescued by some bystanders, after which he came home, only to be arrested a couple of hours later on the false blasphemy accusation. Peter told her team the accusation was completely baseless, as there had been no mention of religion or Muhammad during the altercation. Peter has also claimed that he was beaten by the police during the incarceration, according to the report, and the police pressured him to admit the false charge, but he refused, reiterating that he could not even think of saying anything derogatory about the prophets. This is how believers are facing. I mean, there's a lot of pressure. I mean, Pakistan, Indonesia, all those places, Christians, you know, the Christian majority, they are minority, so they are more of a target. The little thing you do, the story is turned around, and then the charges of blasphemy. What you've not said, they'll say you've said it. What you've not done, they say you've done it. It's difficult to be a Christian in those places. I like this story because it really echoes something I've been talking about on this program for some time. Don't give children under age 13 smartphones, new research says. Parents should avoid preteens' use of smartphones and social media, according to new research. A study released Monday found that using smartphones below or before age 13 could damage kids' mental health. Smartphone use by children under or younger than 13 was associated with suicidal thoughts, worse emotional regulation, lower self-worth, and detachment from reality, especially amongst girls, according to the study, which was published in the Journal of Human Development and Capabilities. For every year below age 13 that a person acquired a smartphone, their mental health and well-being were likely to be lower, the study found. That's likely because the kids who use smartphones before turning 13 access social media more and experience sleep disruptions, cyberbullying, and negative family relationships, according to the study. The data is based on self-reports in the study of nearly 2 million people in 163 countries. Wow. this statistics is very solid, because 2 million, sample size of 2 million, is really, I mean, a very large number, and the country too gives it a very wide range. So it's not just like a Western society, Europe, US, or advanced countries somewhere, but 163 countries means Africa included. The results were so stark that the researchers called for global restrictions to prevent children younger than 13 from using smartphones and social media. This calls for urgent action, limiting access to children under 13 to smartphones, as well as more nuanced regulation on the digital environment young people are exposed to, said lead study author Ratha Thiarajan, founder and chief scientist of Sapien Labs, the non-profit that runs the survey. While previous research focused on how smartphones use is related to anxiety and depression, this survey looked at symptoms not commonly studied, including emotional regulation and self-worth, and found they are very significant, said Thiarajan, who is based in Arlington, Virginia. The results were self-reported, which means they weren't independently verified by researchers. In addition, the study can't pinpoint what types of smartphone use drove the results and can't account how they might change as technologies evolved. And then this says that still, the research certainly has me convinced it's a terrible idea to give kids smartphones before age 13. When I speak to parents in schools, parent groups, and other community spaces, I suggest not letting kids use social media until age 16. Solid research out of the United Kingdom shows that using social media during puberty is associated with lower life satisfaction a year later. Social psychologist Jonathan Hardith also suggested waiting until age 16 to let kids use social media in his best-selling book, The Anxious Generation, how the great rewiring of childhood is causing an epidemic of mental illness. Oh, that's an interesting book to read. Whilst it may seem near impossible to hold off this long, if we talk to the parents of our kids, friends, and collectively agree not to allow our children to use social media or social apps until this age. In all my talks across the country, as an aspect of how social media affects women and girls, I have yet to meet a single parent or guardian who has said that they are excited for their kids to use social media. Instead, they worry their kids will be deprived of social opportunities if they are not on social media. That's why getting the parents of their friends involved is the key. The group Wait Until 8th grade, has created a pledge parents can sign collectively, promising not to let their kids use smartphones until the end of 8th grade. Other groups have created similar pledges. Check to see if there is one in your community. Unfortunately, we don't have any here, but it's worth looking at. And if not, it's important to consider starting one, said Melissa Greenberg, a clinical psychologist at Princeton Psychotherapy Center in New Jersey, who was not involved in the study. Even if people aren't already talking about it, they may be relieved if you start the conversation. In addition, parents could seek schools for their children with stronger policies around smartphones on campus, or push for better policies in their kids' schools. But the researchers warn that parents can't solve these problems individually without societal solutions. After all, even if I don't allow my daughters to use social media before age 16 and convince their friends' parents to do the same, that won't stop them from being exposed to these apps by the other kids on places like the school bus or after school events. Sorry. That's why parents could also be a more active voice in the debates on regulation, according to Thera Tara Garajan, that's the lady's name. If you have already let your child use a smartphone before it's the age 13, or just worried about the results, don't panic. Greenberg said, if you are concerned but don't notice any of these symptoms in your child, you can still talk to them to let them know that some people struggle with anxiety, low self-worth, and intense emotions. She said, you can let them know that there is help available should they ever need it, and you can invite them to come to you if you are also struggling or need support. If you do notice these symptoms in your child, find a licensed professional who can help, according to her. Goes on, it's quite a few more things. I think let me just quickly speed up on it. What happens to if your child already has a smartphone? You may feel stuck when you read things like this because you feel like you can't go back. Greenberg said, that's not true. Don't be afraid to change course if you feel like what you've already done isn't working for your child or for your family. She said, parents can think about options such as using parental controls, switching to flip phone, or deleting apps or features, Greenberg said. Of course, kids may not react pleasantly to such change, but don't let that stop you from acting if you think it will benefit them, she said. Parents can use this script, Greenberg suggested. When we first gave you your smartphone, there were things we didn't know about it, how it might impact you. There are a lot of scientists and doctors who are doing research on the effects smartphones are having on kids, and we are learning a lot more than we knew before. We have to make our changes because we want to make sure we are doing the healthiest thing for you. If kids get upset, be sympathetic to their concerns. She said, adults don't always respond to the most mature way when you are or you take away something away or ask them to change a habit, and we can't expect that from our kids either. She suggested parents talk about your own struggles to get your smartphone used right as a way of literally connecting and acknowledging that it's difficult for all of us to resist their pull. What can you do? What you can do now that you know it could be quite dangerous to allow young kids to use smartphones. If your child doesn't yet have one, start talking to other parents in your community to collectively agree not to let your kids get them until they are older. Kids get away from smartphones. Keeping our kids away from smartphones could be one of the smartest decisions parents make. For this, I fully agree, because you see, I mean, we've said it here during the e-parenting series some years back and all that, even when I had Reverend Billy Bonsu also from the SU, we talked about these phone issues, and I've also had people, we talked about it, some experts during the e-parenting series. But I mean, in the course of the year, God willing, we'll get back to some of these things again, because the effect is getting more serious by the as the time goes on. And unfortunately, some parents, let me put it this way, are also even in the trap of addiction themselves. Some parents and adults are also struggling the issue of phones, and it's something which really has to be brought to the fore in the discussion, even in church. I mean, it's something that it's time this issue of phone usage is looked at, because phone usage is gradually becoming an idol for a lot of believers. The usage of phone is now like an idol in their lives. It's number one. It's number one in everything. Number one is the phone and nothing else. It's affecting marriages, it's affecting relationships, it's really disrupting the family system, it's disrupting social order, it's disrupting spiritual order. It's really a chaotic device now, because see, it's a good thing But if you don't control it or its usage, then it becomes a bad thing. As it stands now, for a greater majority of believers, the mobile phone is gradually becoming a bad thing. And it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. All right, so let's get to this final news item, which is very, very interesting. It happened this week in the U.S. Murder victim's mother forgives killer in court, pleads with him to accept Jesus, and says, "I pray for you." You know, it was so emotional. So emotional. I mean, looking at that news report and all that, and just days after Kara Kemodel shared her moving testimony with CBN News, the mother, whose daughter Zana was murdered on November 13, 2022, along with three other University of Idaho students, joined affected family members and friends in delivering their victim impact statements. You know, normally, let me just pause. In the U.S., when they are giving the verdict of on murder charges and all that in court, they allow the victims to read an impact statement or say an impact statement towards the murderer. And this was what happened. So Kemodel opened her moving courtroom message by directly addressing Brian Koberger, a 30-year-old former criminal justice doctoral candidate who admitted to the killings, killed four students in their sleep. I mean, very horrible murder. Quote, "My daughter was beautiful both inside and out," unquote, she said during Koberger's sentencing hearing. And quote again, "She had a light so bright, it would live on forever in our hearts. She brought joy and laughter to her friends, her family, and anyone in her presence," unquote. Kemodel continued, quote, "Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now has her in his loving arms in heaven, where she can never be harmed ever again for eternity," unquote. The grieving mom then went on to share her testimony, noting that she came to know Jesus because of Zana, that's the daughter, and believes many others will come to know the Lord as a result of her daughter. From there, Kemodel offered forgiveness. Quote, "It is Christ who lives in me that has given me the strength to forgive you," unquote, she said. Wow. "It was of no power of my own." Kemodel, who told CBN News last week she struggled with addiction after Zana's death, but after becoming a Christian, she told the court she is now filled with joy, hope, and peace. Wow. Filled with joy, hope, and peace. Interesting. Then it goes on to say that, quote again, "Jesus has allowed me to forgive you for murdering my daughter without even being sorry," unquote, she told Koberger, that's the killer. "I do not fear you or even let you have space in my head anymore. This forgiveness has released me of any and all evil you have inflicted on me and my family. It has allowed me to let our Lord deal with you." Ultimately, Kemodel told Koberger, he will one day stand before the Lord, noting heaven and hell are real places. "I do pray for you," she said. "I pray that before this life is over, that you ask Lord, our Lord and Savior in your heart and to forgive you." She also shared scripture from Ephesians 6, Paul's powerful words about being strong in faith and putting on the armor of God. You know, this is not the first time such an incident has happened in the U.S. where people have forgiven murderers in the courtroom. And, you know, so when you hear people say, believers, supposed believers say that, "As for this one, I can't forgive. It's not possible to forgive." I mean, the greatest pain or anyone can inflict on a family or a mother is killing the husband or the children or a child. And if such people are still able to find space in their hearts to forgive. And people say they will not forgive people's, offenses for lesser, because, murder is the highest you can put. You can put it as the highest in the peck of various crimes. So if lesser offenses relative to murder, people say that they will not forgive. As for this one, they will never forgive till death do us part. Hey, it's a very dangerous statement to make when you say you will not forgive someone forever, because once you make that assertion and you stand by it, you also now become a victim, because now you are in trouble with God, because God is clear about it. If you don't forgive others the offenses, you too, your sins will not be forgiven. So if you intentionally and truthfully decide you will not forgive others for whatever they do to you, then know that henceforth, from that day onwards, God is also not going to forgive you for anything you do. In other words, you are virtually signing your hell warrant, because if God doesn't forgive you for all your sins till you die, where are you going? So these things, forgiveness, people say that it's not possible to forgive some things, but this is an example of extreme pain that can, murdering your daughter. And you look at the person's face in the court and tell the person that I've forgiven you and I pray for you that you receive Christ. Wow. Such a powerful impact statement. This is something that some will say that, because this is not about being a white person or whatever. I know a case in Ghana where, someone forgave the killer, one of the killers of the husband in Ghana here. So it's not something that's about a white person or a black person issue. It's about the Christ aspect, the Christ in us. If really we are Christians, some things are possible. If we really believe what the Bible says, it is possible. Others have done it. There's this case that where it's one of the even the extreme ones. This woman, a boy killed his son, and because the boy was younger, so he was treated as a juvenile. After he served the sentence, this mother whose son was killed went for the boy, adopted him as her son. And it's one of the bizarre stories you can somebody kills your son, now the person is released from prison, and this woman adopts virtually, that's a replacement of the son, the murderer. But you see, because of the Christ factor. You see, so there are some things which it can only be possible in Christ. But so far as it's possible in Christ, a Christian also then has no excuse to say that, it's not possible. It's possible. Others have done, and even are still doing it, like the story I just read. This is just this week. So forgiveness is important. As believers, we should strive to forgive. It may be difficult, no doubt, but the same grace that we found when we came to Christ, that same grace is available to help us to forgive others. All right, I'll be back. Let me play this song. And then I'm coming. Oh. Okay, there is a song which is in line with my topic this evening. Okay.
I really believe it's important to know what we believe and why we believe it. So let's confess with our mouths and declare what we believe in our hearts.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell.
heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Son, our Savior, come to us by virgin birth.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, doctor?
The test results show that you have 3 completely blocked arteries.
3? That sounds bad.
Actually, it's amazing you're still alive. We need to perform triple bypass surgery as soon as possible.
Wow, this is serious. When should you operate?
I have a space open tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow? Oh, that's not enough time for me to get in shape.
Get in shape, Mr. Smith?
Yeah. I don't want to have an operation without being in good health. I need to quit smoking.
I don't think you have the time.
And drinking. I need to stop drinking.
Mr. Smith, you need major surgery.
Yeah, I know, but I want to be in good health first. And a haircut. I need to get a haircut.
Why would anyone wait until they were in good health before they had life-saving surgery? Many people have this same attitude about going to God. They feel they need to clean up their life first. The problem is, we all have a life-threatening disease called sin, and the only cure is Jesus. Are you trying to be good when you need to turn to Jesus? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
That's a very beautiful one. You're talking of emergency, you are talking of haircuts. All right, welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. All right, the beautiful song by Randy Rothwell. And, you know, Apostles' Creed, that's what they've used for the song. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. So, you know, last week I started talking about our belief. What do we believe as believers? And one of the issues we are having in this time, it's always been in the body of Christ. I mean, there are issues that come, people say things, doctrines, you know, misunderstandings, twisted lies, deception. I mean, it's happened all through. But the Bible warned us, Jesus warned us explicitly that in the latter days, this will happen. You know, there will be false doctrines, false prophets will be happening. We will have them in the numbers, you know, Matthew 24:4-5, you read there, 24:11, 24:24. You see, so we have these warnings ahead of time. But then we are having a challenge now where you talk to some people, some believers, and it's like they don't even know what they believe in. I played this song, or I read the Apostles' Creed, because now you have believers who are punching holes in these same things which the early... It's like this is the tenets of Christianity. This is what we believe as believers, as Christians. This is the foundation. But now you have Christians, supposed Christians, let me use that word rather, who are now even questioning the Holy Spirit. I mean, I heard one... I mean, a supposed preacher saying that the Holy Spirit is just an angel. I mean, it's not... I mean, who we say he is, he's just an angel. So, and you know, it's fascinating. But, I mean, he was saying it boldly. I mean, one pastor gave a rebuttal, you know, and then he used him to preach, you know, back. And you realize this is the challenge we are having now, the warning we've been given that. Now, the things that people believed over the years, they started questioning it. This thing, we don't believe it again. It's even more dangerous when the person won't tell you, I don't believe it again, but in the person's heart, he's no longer believing it. So until this or the discussion comes up, you think, oh, this person believes or is a believer. But when that topic comes up, then you begin to see all sorts of beliefs coming up, twisted doctrine, twisted, you know, new age beliefs, twisted this, twisted that. And the worrying aspect is sometimes it's even coming from some pulpits. So it even controls a wider grouping of people, because when it's a preacher who is saying it, it's not the same as just one member somewhere who believes something. The influence is greater. So, you know, this new age beliefs, things which now they are believers who see nothing wrong with combining Christianity with some of the Eastern practices like yoga and Christianity. Oh, it's not a sin, it's fine, you can use it, it's just exercise. But you know, when you address that, there's the spiritual aspect of it, this aspect of Eastern religion in mixed in yoga and all that. Oh no no no, it's just for the good of it, the exercise. So you see, they try to justify why it's okay to believe a little of astrology, a little of this, a little of that, a little of this, and just combining it. After all, I mean, I'm still a Christian, I'm still active in church, I still go to church, I still speak in tongues, I'm still an usher, I'm still this. So it's as if the Christ that we have is not enough, so we need some add-ons to it. We need some plugins to make our belief in Christ more holistic, so we can add some things. So let's add a little of some Eastern religion, a little of some, you know, worldly this to it, a little of that, a little of this, so that we have a whole package. And that is what this rebranded Christianity is becoming, a trend amongst the youth especially, and it's very dangerous. So you realize, today I was thinking about this thing, and I realized, see, one of the reasons why now it's difficult for the youth to engage in evangelism is because of some of the beliefs they are having. You see, because one of the beliefs now in among some of the youth, or among some Christians, is the fact that, I mean, everybody will go to heaven anyway, so what's the big deal? So it's not like you need to be in Christ per se before you can go to heaven. After all, we are all going, so all roads lead to heaven. So just that we are finding ourselves at different places, but at the end, eventually we all get to the same destination. So why convince somebody, why preach to somebody, why evangelize, why share your Christ with somebody? I mean they don't see the need because of some of these hidden beliefs in them. Like, so what's the big deal? It's like we are all going to Accra, we know eventually we'll get to Accra, so whether I go by STC or you go by VIP, we will all get to Accra. So if I'm sitting at STC and you are sitting at the VIP station, why should I come and convince you that we'll come to my place? After all, we are all going to the same place. That's how they are seeing it. And this is a very wrong thing, because to believe that all roads lead to heaven is a fallacy. You know, let me just read Mark 16, 17 to 18, for instance. No, wait, I wrote this verse. I'm looking for that. Okay, I think I left it. Okay. Okay, I've seen that. So I'm reading, finally, this is a teaching. Okay, I did some write-up before. I'll get to the verse. Finally, this is the teaching that we can believe in Jesus and practice other faiths. They believe that there are many spiritual or religious paths to God and heaven. When we read the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Jesus is very clear that we must, through the narrow gate, receive salvation. The wide gate leads to destruction. Matthew 7:13. Let me just read it briefly. Matthew 7:13. Okay. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. This is one of the most dangerous verses in the word of God, the scriptures. Extremely dangerous. And this warning is clear. If all routes were leading to the same destination, there will be no need to have a broad and a narrow one, because after all, it's the same. But it's not so. That's what Jesus says. It's not so. And then John 14:6, briefly, that one, you still have people who will say otherwise, you know. And Jesus said unto them, unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. These three key things, or three key phrases, I am the way. That means there's no other way apart from Christ. The truth, there's no truth apart from Christ. And the life, there's no life aside him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is an explicit statement. There's nothing we can do about it. It's either we accept it, or, I mean, it's our own issue. But this is what Christ said. I am the way. Of all the other religions, there's no one, none of the leaders have been able to affirm and state in their time of living, has a written record that says that he could affirm and say that I am the way. None of them could say that, except Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Now you have believers, or some supposed believers, who say that, oh, God is not fair, and so Jesus cannot be the only way after all. You see, so now you have people who are trying to rationalize, trying to question the words of God. These are red letters. I mean, the word of God, words of Christ. But you have people who say they are believers and they are questioning what Christ has said, that it cannot be true. This is the issue we are having now in the body of Christ. Where people are not believing the truth again, but they are believing other things. So the question is, what do you believe? The question I'm asking, what do you believe? I mean, some of the beliefs now, the hyper grace, you can live anyhow, you can live carelessly. At the end of the day, you see, it all stems from this issue of all roads lead to heaven anyway. So it doesn't matter your lifestyle, it doesn't matter your belief, it doesn't matter your faith. At the end of the day, even the extreme one, there was this bishop in the US who was propounding that doctrine that even Satan cry will be saved, you know, and people believe it, you know. See, so it's as if the Bible is not enough, so people have to come up with revelations, doctrines, you know. It's unfortunate, but what do you believe? That's the question I'm leaving you with tonight. What do you believe in? Is it the truth? The truth that is in the word of God, or the truth as stated by someone outside the word of God? Is that your driving force? Is that what propels you as a believer? Are you beginning to question some verses? And this verse, it doesn't mean what it means. This verse looks like there's a mistake. So you have believers now who believe the words of Abraham, Moshe, that guy. They believe common sense. You know, they try to rationalize some things. Some verses are wrong. Some verses have been misinterpreted. And they have questions. They have issues with the word of God. This word, this Christ, white men who brought it, the same white men who brought schnapps, were the same white men who brought this one. You see, they try to make the word of God, to trivialize it as if it's nothing. You know, so, yet they say they are Christians. It's not that they've left the faith. No. They still claim they are Christians. But they have refined their form of Christianity, and they've embraced other beliefs into it. So they are no longer believing what we are supposed to believe as believers. The early, the apostles, the things they believed in as written in the word of God in the scriptures, now, no, they want to believe in other things.
And this is where the danger comes in. This second Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, and this is what people have to understand, there are some people preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if he receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might bear with him. So there's another Jesus, there's another spirit, there's another gospel. And this, if even in the time of Paul, this was, happening for Paul to write about it to the Corinthians church, then how much more now? How much more now? Online is full of a whole lot of junk mixed. You hear some things and you know that it's like this one. It's another spirit that's at work. You see, so the youth is unfortunately, especially, being coerced into these things because it makes it seem like there is an easier Christianity out there, which that one is more user-friendly. Let me put it that way. User-friendly, seeker-friendly. That one is easier. You don't really have to sacrifice anything. You don't need to have to pay any price. It just, just flow with the system. So that one becomes an easier version. So version 2.0, they don't want the old school Christianity, the old time religion. No. They want Christianity 2.0. That one is modernized. That one is trendy. That one is fashionable. That one is, they'll say it's like, that one is enjoyable. So they prefer that one to the religion of their fathers and their parents. So they will stay, they won't leave the church. Some have not left. They are still in the church. But they are now believing something else. And this is the dangerous trend. So I believe pastors have a lot of work to do. You see, sometimes ask the people, ask them, what do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? And you see, what is in them? Ask someone, you are a believer, okay, why do you believe what do you believe? What do you believe actually? And you'll be amazed what some people will tell you. Because some are just in church, but they don't even understand the whole, why they even believe what they believe in. It's serious. It's serious. Because you see, the way this whole trend is going, it's either we believe the truth and stand by it, or we follow the twisted, user-friendly version, which may seem more friendly and more acceptable and enjoyable, but there are consequences. And as believers, it's time we are made aware of some of these things so that we run away from it. Greetings, Mrs. Samprechum. Yes, please. Forgiveness is very, very important, and the grace of God will help us. I'm really touched by the testimony of the woman. Yes, it's a very powerful one. Unfortunately, the husband, though a Christian, but he has still not been able to forgive the man. So he was opposite what the wife said. The husband was, you go to hell. The pain, yes, naturally, yes, the pain, but he has not been able to forgive. So you have two contrasting, the woman and the daughter, that's the sister, the one who was killed, the sister, and then the mother. They have been able to forgive and really express their Christian, their belief and their faith openly in court of forgiving, but the father couldn't, and it's very unfortunate. So what do we believe? All too soon, it's 9 o'clock. Reflect, think about it. For those on the right track, thank God, keep being on the right track. But for those who are asking questions, having doubts, beginning to hear some strange doctrines and beginning to think, am I even a Christian? Questions. Be careful of strange things you see online, especially. And, things which are not biblically sound. Some things clearly are off the scripture. Off. I mean, it doesn't hold anywhere. And they twist it just to deceive. And I believe as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, it will help us to be able to do what is right. Good night, and God bless you.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, doctor?
The test results show that you have three completely blocked arteries.
Three?